Good afternoon, 4:30 and 76 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Davidson.
She was struck by a vehicle. That's all we know of right now. They've not released a lot more from the detective yet.
Kentucky State Police Trooper Scott Farrell says a Frenchburg man is behind bars this evening, charged with the murder of his wife.
A pair of drug summits are planned in Ashland next week.
And Kentuckians for the Commonwealth releases its energy plan for Kentucky.
In sports, the MSU men's basketball team signs two recruits.
Bud Luke has the business news.
And isolated thunderstorms possible tonight with lows around 60 degrees. We'll have a complete check of your weather after this news.
Kentucky State Police have charged a Frenchburg man with the murder of his wife. 20-year-old Austin Prater was arrested shortly after investigators found the body of 18-year-old Maria Prater of Lawrenceburg in a ditch just off Old State Route Road in Menifee County at 11:52 last night. Trooper Farrell says the KSP believes the man ran over the woman with his vehicle. However, he adds the motive for the incident remains unknown.
It's not been disclosed yet to me from the detective. It's still where he's got an open case. He's not released that information yet, what they think might have resulted in this happening.
Prater is being held in the Montgomery County Detention Center.
An autopsy will be conducted to determine the cause of death for an inmate of the Lewis County Detention Center. Kentucky State Police say 40-year-old Chris Helfenstein of Vanceburg passed away yesterday morning just before 6 o'clock during a medical transport to Portsmouth Regional Hospital. Employees of the jail had found Helfenstein unresponsive in his cell at around 3:30. EMS was contacted after efforts to revive the man failed.
The fact that Rowan's new jail will hold about 200 more prisoners than its current lockup will benefit the county's residents in at least one way. That word comes from jailer Wes Coldiron.
I want to try to at least get me one more road crew out working at all times. So, you know, I'll have people at the park. I got a guy at the recycling center right now. County Road Department. And then my inmate crew goes out and picks up trash and does odds and ends things.
Coldiron says that having an additional work crew could expand those efforts. The group would come from the 40-inmate work release section of Rowan's new jail. The county fiscal court must still approve Coldiron's plan. Construction on Rowan County's $18 million detention center is expected to be finished by early January.
Mason County has a new jailer. The Maysville Ledger-Independent reports that Lisa Kern-Yeary was sworn into office Tuesday, replacing Lisa O'Hearn, who retired. Mason Executive Judge Joe Pfeffer tapped Kern-Yeary for the post last week. She ran for jailer in the Republican primary in 2014 and received the second most votes in a field of six candidates. The new jailer has 20 years of experience in corrections.
New laws that stiffen the penalties for Kentuckians trafficking in carfentanyl-laced heroin and other dangerous drugs are going to put more people in the state's prisons and drive up costs. So says Justice and Public Safety Cabinet Secretary John Tilley. He was speaking on KET's Connections with Renee Shaw. Tilley says it's estimated the crackdown will cost Kentucky an additional $30 million, but those expenses may be mitigated somewhat by other new legislation which encourages drug treatment.
We also hope to take another look. There's a lot of folks talking about a way to maybe carve out some exceptions for those who are addicted to get them help and maybe not as long a prison sentence as the current form would dictate.
Kelly says dealers peddling narcotics that kill should receive harsher sentences than addicts.
An emergency regulation is now in effect to ease overcrowding in Kentucky jails.
The Kentucky Department of Correction says they will release around 570 inmates who've already been reviewed and approved for parole. The regulation is designed to free up prison beds so that offenders can be transferred out of the most crowded jails. The state inmate population has grown almost 7% in the past year, causing safety concerns and forcing several jail expansions across the state that are expected to create an additional 1,700 beds over the next 3 years. I'm Haley Hansen.
Ashland will be the site next week of a couple of anti-drug summits hosted by Pathways. The first one, held on Thursday, will be for high school students in Boyd, Carter, and Greenup counties. The Friday event will be for grown-up members of the community. Veronica Nunley is the Director of Organizational Development for Pathways Regional Prevention Center. She says the focus of those discussions will center on defining exactly what addiction is and how to solve the problem.
We will open this up to the community to have some real tools about, again, about addiction and about what folks in the community, what folks in foster care, what folks in the faith community can do to be a part of the solution.
The featured speaker at the community summit will be Van Ingram, Executive Director for the Kentucky Office of Drug Control Policy. There's more information on next week's summit from Pathways at 606-324-3005.
Kentuckians for the Commonwealth have unveiled their new Empower Kentucky plan. The plan calls for the creation of new natural gas plants in Kentucky, greater investments in renewable energy, and more energy-efficient homes. Chris Woolery is a residential energy efficiency specialist and stresses the importance of this plan.
I'm just really excited to share these the key points of this plan, because in my work in residential energy efficiency, I see people's lives get changed. And it's important that more people can get opportunities to do some of this clean energy work.
An analysis done by Synapse Energy Economics Incorporated found that if the plan is followed and meets its goals, by 2032, residential electric bills will drop by 10%. Nearly 46,300 new jobs will be created, and health will improve all across Kentucky.
AK Steel says its new research and innovation center in southern Ohio will enable the company to make the high-strength but fuel-efficient steel the auto industry now demands. The firm's $36 million facility is in Middletown and spans 135,000 square feet. AK's chief executive officer is Roger Newport. He tells WCPO-TV the center should improve operations at all the firm's mills.
So we're able to develop new grades of steel to find applications that are needed for our customers to help them in developing the needs of their needs in the future.
AK Steel's Ashland plant covers nearly 700 acres and produces semi-finished slabs for the Middletown Works. The Kentucky mill employs about 800 persons.
Ashland Global Holdings says it has reached an agreement to acquire Pharmachem Laboratories for $660 million. That's according to a press release from Ashland Global. Pharmachem is a 38-year-old company, and it is based in New Jersey. It's a leading provider of quality ingredients like fragrances and flavors for the health and wellness industry. The transaction is expected to be completed by the end of the June quarter. Ashland Chairman Bill Wolfson says the acquisition will offer a number of exciting growth opportunities in higher-end markets while also strengthening his company's specialty product line.
Former presidential candidate Bernie Sanders is telling Kentuckians that there can be a livable minimum wage in the U.S., affordable health care, and critical infrastructure projects that improve the lives of everyone. The Vermont senator made those claims during a speech in Louisville Tuesday evening. Sanders says all are possible if those priorities are identified and pursued from the bottom up.
The issue in front of us is whether or not we have the guts to take on a billionaire class and all of their power. I say, yes, we do.
Sanders says he does not believe Kentuckians who voted for President Trump want cuts to programs that assist children and seniors so that wealthy people can get a tax cut.
Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell says he'd like to work with Democrats to reform the country's tax system, but he doubts that many of them will want the same thing. McConnell is the leader of his Republican Party in the Senate. He accuses Democrats of approaching tax reform as a way of raising taxes on the wealthy so that income can be redistributed. McConnell says that's no way to grow the economy.
Tax reform is about making America more competitive. We didn't have a single year of 3% growth during the Obama years. We're not going to be able to realize opportunities for the next generation unless we get the country growing again.
McConnell says the best ways to do that are changes to laws that incentivize business investment and reduce regulations.
And it appears Rowan County's employees will be making more money in the next fiscal year. Judge Executive Walter Blevin says as part of the county's planned budget for 2017-18, those workers will receive pay raises.
At least 50 cents, and some got a little more than that. If you don't pay them, if the economy picks up, which we hope it's going to even, it's already picked up in Rowan County, but we think it may pick up even more with the developments we have going with the hospital, the jail, with the community and technical college building. We think that we've got some real progress already going on, but once they're completed, we'll even have more. And then if you don't have good salaries, those people will move somewhere else.
Blevin says some of Rowan's workers will also be getting merit raises. The county's nearly $12.5 million spending plan for fiscal 18 received initial passage on Tuesday from the fiscal court. It's expected to earn final approval at the group's regular meeting next month.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, tonight a 30% chance of rain with isolated thunderstorms developing later in the evening and lows around 61. Tomorrow, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, however, partly cloudy skies with highs around 83. Tomorrow night, chance of rain is back up to near 80%, thunderstorms likely with lows near 60 degrees. There will be a 40% chance of showers on Friday with highs around 68. Friday night, you can expect cloudy skies and lows around 51. Saturday, a 100% chance of showers and thunderstorms with highs around 53. And Saturday night, rainfall chance at 100% with possible accumulation of 1 inch and thunderstorms likely with lows around 50 degrees. Temperatures for the region, it is 73 in Ashland and Flemingsburg, 76 in Inez, 80 degrees in both Lexington and Winchester, and it is currently 76 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
It is 4:43. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio, and it is great to be with you on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, we have our regular Wednesday feature, Neighbors, Adrian Swain's Conversations with our culturally diverse Appalachian community. Adrian talks with Morehead State University Spanish professor Itza Zavala Garrett. She first came to the U.S. on scholarship for a year during high school, following a nomadic upbringing in Mexico's largest city.
I'm from Mexico City. I'm the oldest one of three siblings.
And your mother was from a large family.
She's from another generation. In her family, there were 10 children. She was different because in Mexico during the 60s, 70s, just still in the process to be an independent woman. She was very rebellious.
After your mother was widowed, your mother moved to Southern California.
Yes, we were in L.A. for around 3 years, and I was like 3 years old. I was friend of my mother. I was her best friend. Mm-hmm. And you know that it's good and bad at the same time because you had a lot of responsibilities in a very young age. Yeah, maybe a strong, you know, I think. And my mother, I mean, she always was looking for better opportunities for us. She took a lot of risk for better or for worse. And I think all those experiences helped me to be the woman that I am today. She worked in a citrus tree farm some months.
As a farm worker.
And was very hard, actually. And since then, she has problems with her back. So she decided to come back to Mexico. My mother, she wants to keep, you know, living independently from my grandparents. We moved to Tamaulipas, close to Monterrey, Mexico.
And you were there for 7 years, is
yes,
that right?
Got my, you know, my elementary school, my high school, and we had very interesting experiences. But my mother realized that the drug cartels, they had a cell growing. You have to keep in mind that it's a city close to the border, close to San Antonio. Yeah, we were like gypsies, you know. She got a job in a government hospital. Mm-hmm. So she has the opportunity to come back to that kind of job. So Querétaro is a beautiful colonial city. So I finished my school there.
But when you were in your senior year in high school?
I always want to travel. I always want to get familiar with other cultures. I had this opportunity, this scholarship to Minnesota, living with two American families during 1 year. And I was working in a bilingual immersion school. So mm-hmm. the kids, they were learning Spanish and English at the same time since they were very little.
So you went back?
So I got my BA in Universidad Autónoma de Mexico. I mean, Querétaro.
While you were there, you were involved with foreign students.
Because one of my areas is teaching Spanish as a second language. When I went to Minnesota, my English was very basic. I learned with the kids that was teaching Spanish. I learned a lot about the culture and also about the language, about idiomatic expressions that you never learn in school. So I had the opportunity after my experience in Minnesota, when I was working with foreign students as a teacher assistant, the one study abroad director offered me to get my master's degree and a scholarship in Kalamazoo, Western Michigan University. When I finished my BA, I went there, and that was wonderful.
You completed your master's degree in Spanish?
Yes. I decided I want to specialize in college students. So that gave me the motivation to pursue my degree in Spanish, but in contemporary literature, to teach more about my culture and about Latin American countries.
From Michigan, you went to Colorado, to Boulder. To
yes, I got my PhD there. I specialize in contemporary Latin American literature and culture. I really enjoyed my experience there, especially because I met my husband. We were in this Latin club. He didn't know to dance. So we decided to start talking and had a lot of common, and that was very nice. He's in D.C. working right now for the government.
And you completed your PhD?
Yes.
And hired at Wake Forest University?
And I was there as a visiting professor for 5 years.
From Wake Forest, you moved to Moorhead.
We like this community. They are very friendly. So we decided to stay. I realized that here is very similar to my country. In Mexico, for economical reasons, the children live with their parents, sometimes until they get married. You have very strong roots. I see that with my students. You know, most of them are local. Family ties are in Mexico and here are similar. I think it's very important to get familiar about other ways of life and also realize that we have a lot in common. We are not so different from this community around here. We have more common grounds than different ones. We are not just a statistic when people talk about refugees or immigrants. I mean, we are, as you say, humans, and we have experiences that make us similar, and we can understand each other through this kind of conversation.
Thank you so much for coming in and talking to me.
Thank you, Adrian. I really appreciate this opportunity, and gracias.
That is Moorhead State University Spanish professor Itza Zavala Garrett. Neighbors, Adrian Swain's Conversations with Our Culturally Diverse Appalachian Community is a regular Wednesday feature on Mountain Edition. 4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR at 5 o'clock this afternoon, and Braxton has sports right after we take this timeout.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Moorhead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Moorhead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Moorhead State University and Moorhead State Public Radio.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Moorhead State men's basketball program has picked up a verbal commitment for next season. 6'4", 205-pound swingman Terrell Thompson of Southwest Mississippi Community College says he will sign with the Eagles. This past season, Thompson averaged over 11 points and 5 rebounds a game.
I'm a shooter, but I do like to play defense.